Years ago, when I was a member of my college glee club, we were rehearsing the Berlioz Requiem. To inspire us, our director played a recording of the Sanctus, sung by Leopold Simonon. Hearing his voice for the first time, my thought was, I guess this is what angels sound like. In opera, from the early 40s well into the 1960s, there were three cornerstones in Simonon's repertoire: Mozart, the lighter romantic Italian roles, and a wide variety of French works. He sang everything with absolute clarity of sound, total command of text, and instinctive musicality. On stage, Simonon had a sweet, sincere presence, rather than an imposing, glamorous, or theatrically riveting one. But with vocal beauty and flawless artistry, he left audiences enraptured. He was hugely admired all over Europe and in North America, including Chicago, where he starred in six of the first eight seasons of Lyric Opera. Simonon hailed from Saint-Flavien, Quebec, where he was born in 1916. After studying in Montreal, he made his operatic debut there in Lacmé. Early on, he showed an affinity for Mozart, appearing in Canadian performances of The Magic Flute and Così fan tutte. He was destined to be a standard setter in Mozart, especially in Così. Here he is in Ferrando's lovesick first act aria. During those early years of career building, Simonon also found his life's companion, a fellow French-Canadian, the gifted coloratura soprano Pierrette Allery. Their marriage endured from 1946 until Simonon's death half a century later. They often collaborated on stage, and they made many recordings together, including Bizet's Pearlfishers. In the mid-1940s, Simonon worked with an important teacher in New York, Paul Althaus. He also appeared with the fledgling New York City Center Opera as Lionel in Martha. His next big step was his Paris debut in 1949 at the Opéra Comique in Gounod's Mireille. For 5 years, he remained a strong presence in Paris. Besides Mozart and French repertoire, his roles there included one that must have suited him perfectly: Tom Rakewell in the French premiere of Stravinsky's The Rake's Progress. Word about Simonon's excellence in Mozart spread quickly to two festivals that specialized in that repertoire. By 1951, he was at Glyndebourne, where he captured all hearts as Idamante in Idomeneo. At Aix-en-Provence, along with Mozart roles, Simonon mastered the tenor version of Orpheus in Gluck's Orpheus and Eurydice.
Séjour en Égypte.
The Mozart operas also brought Simoneau to Milan, Edinburgh, Salzburg, Vienna, Buenos Aires, other major French houses beyond Paris, and finally in 1963, the Met, where he appeared in Don Giovanni. That was also the opera that began his association with Lyric, when he was Don Ottavio in the two famous calling card performances in February 1954. Carol Fox and her colleagues wisely booked him for the company's inaugural season. Its third production, The Barber of Seville, featured Simoneau as Count Almaviva. Two nights later, he was back on stage singing La Traviata opposite Maria Callas. If only someone had recorded those two together. Simoneau did record the aria, a reminder of how gracefully and sensitively Alfredo can be sung.
Dei miei volenti spiriti, il giovanile amore, velate braca il placido sorriso dell'amore, dal di che disse vivere, io voglio a te
In 1959, Simoneau was especially thrilled to sing Così with a dream cast: Christa Ludwig, Walter Berry, Sylvia Stahlmann, Fernando Corena, and, as Fior di Ligi, Elisabeth Schwarzkopf, who'd already partnered him on a complete Così recording. Simoneau wrote more than four decades later, "For several years thereafter, I continued to perform Mozart's works in the principal opera companies of the world, but I cannot recall such a unique cast as the one of Così in Chicago during November 1959. I'm sure Wolfgang would have loved it." From 1954 to 1961 at Lyric, besides Don Ottavio, Alfredo, Ferrando, and Count Almaviva, Simoneau sang Nemorino in L'Elisir d'Amore and Nicias in Thais. Perhaps Simoneau's Nemorino did most to show our audience what an extraordinary singer he was. Lyric's press representative, the late Danny Newman, told me the story. For one of the performances, Simoneau had severe laryngitis, but he chose to sing. He then proceeded to demonstrate how infallible technique could sustain an indisposed singer through an entire evening. The climax was Nemorino's aria, Una furtiva lagrima.
Una furtiva lagrima negli occhi suoi spuntò, quelle festose giovani invidio.
That night at Lyric, Simoneau's performance of the aria was glorious. When he finished, the audience exploded. According to Danny Newman, the ovation has been equaled only twice in lyric opera history. In 1955, after Callas's mad scene in Lucia, and in 1963, when Nikolai Gyarov made his American debut in Faust. Simenon was matchless in both concert and recital repertoire. Especially in French art songs, he cast a spell. Few singers could caress a line of French text the way Simenon could. He devoted one of his solo discs to the songs of Henri Duparc. The opening of L'Invitation au Voyage always gives me a little shiver of pleasure when I listen to it. His phrasing is so hypnotic, with the words and the voice so totally linked. In 1970, as soloist in Handel's Messiah in Montreal, Simenon and his wife sang in public for the last time. They then embarked on important second careers as teachers in San Francisco. Later, back on their home turf, they directed a successful touring company called Canada Piccola Opera. Simenon was one of the most honored and loved figures in Canadian cultural life when he died in 2006, at the age of 90, at his home in Victoria, British Columbia. His wife was 89 when she died in Victoria last July. After his final Don Ottavio at Lyric in 1961, our audience saw Simenon once more in 1979 when he was a guest at the 25th anniversary gala. As one of our special honorees for the 50th anniversary in 2004, he wrote to me using words like privilege and honor to describe how he felt about being part of the company's early history. I never met Leopold Simenon in person, but we did speak once when he called to say he would be sending a reminiscence for inclusion in Lyric's 50th anniversary book. He was nearing the end of his long life, but he sounded like a young man. In just that brief conversation, I could tell that here was a true gentleman. For sheer beauty and elegance, his singing will never be surpassed.